Hey everybody, I'm Jody Vance.
And I'm George Affleck.
And we have to get to Canadian campaigns, because we're counting down, but also, oh my gosh, more tariffs, more chaos. Yes, more Trump.
And Signalgate, all that on Unspun. Hey, where do we start? I mean, another slow week of news, everybody. And certainly on the spin side, lots to talk about on this on
Kick us
spin.
off. Kick us off. Where, which one? Put
I
your finger on
mean,
the dartboard. Where,
let's
where?
start with, the whole Signal, texting war plan
Okay.
lies. It's like there's so many parts to that.
World security, guys. The greatest superpower on the planet at one time. Certainly one of the most powerful countries on the planet. The one that's a democracy versus the ones that aren't. Has basically created a group chat on an app where they accidentally added a journalist, a very high level, by the way, at The Atlantic. Goldberg is his name. He accidentally added to the group chat. This is for people that are living on podcasts. Thank you for watching and listening to our podcast. We love that. And we're not dissing podcasts. But if you have tuned out of the news, you've missed quite a story. Because you know what it just gets me, George, is when this signal gate started to unfold and the denialism and the lying of like outright, like don't believe what you're seeing, but instead listen to what I'm saying. And then I went back a number of years to her emails, like
Comparatively
how,
to
oh my God.
Clinton's emails. Yeah.
What?
So there's three communications from a spin point of view. First of all, okay, let's talk about the app in government and having been in government. There's very strict rules. We had in BC, local, when we had triple delete gate, whatever we called it, where there was
That
a
was Christy Clark, right?
Christy Clark, and they're deleting emails. And then, of course, government, we've had lots of even locally, like municipal governments, where they're using private emails and they get caught. And I know that a lot of politicians use WhatsApp here to talk to each other as a sharing, information platform,
Because it's
because
encrypted.
it's encrypted, but also there's no platform. Local government doesn't have what the Americans have for ways to communicate that are approved by the governments. But in general, when it comes to politics and being in government, is that everything, the assumption is, if you run for office and you are in office and you work for government, is everything is open to the public. Every single way you communicate will always and possibly could be made available to the public. It's like, the whole crisis communication thing, you say to a corporation or whoever is like, imagine if this was a headline in a newspaper or whatever, would you be comfortable with that, statement or whatever you're saying?
Whatever you're saying, wherever you're saying it.
Yeah. And that
Yeah.
goes with, so when you're in government, you generally, when you're sending emails, I mean, I was very strict about this stuff. You don't send the emails that are full of information because you talk about them in the public, or you don't talk about them at all, or
I was going to
whatever it
say,
might
there's a
be.
lot of coffee in your life, George. There's a lot of meeting for coffee, or
There's a
you
lot of
follow
people who
up
do
on that. Yeah, phone calls.
phone calls, the most
But it's why,
encrypted.
can you put that in, can you put that in writing for me? No.
Yeah. So that's step one. Like, okay, what are you doing? That you any the you know even at local government, this is a rule. And we're talking national defense team people, the highest level, who should not be exempt. If anything, it should be the opposite. They're more important to be making sure that they communicate in a way that's safe, and if it is stuff that is in camera, as they say, in
Or
that
classified,
is
which
classified,
this would be.
that
And
those
that's the
first of all, those
argument.
meetings are registered as a thing that's happening. At least that they could say they went to this meeting, they had these private conversations. We don't know what they talked about, but one day that will be released. But for now, that's need to know basis, as they say.
Well, for those who are on the inside that I follow along on social media and watch on the news and what have you, and just listening to the people who are learned in the subject matter of national security and protocol, really around classified documents and classified communications, which a war plan or attack plan or whatever the hell you want to call it, that's spin too, because it was a war plan and now it's an attack plan. It's like, doesn't matter. There are soldiers at the other end of that. There are people that are put at risks, a risk that, you know, the livelihoods of these individuals. Like if you're a service person who all of a sudden you've got like, you know, Pete Hegseth and JD Vance and, you know, Mike Waltz and all of these people who have these huge titles and massive responsibilities where they replaced lifelong nonpartisan experts in those fields. You know, Pete Hegseth is a Fox News weekend host. Like I could not be the leader of the Canadian defense. Like I don't know enough, even if I studied super hard, you know what I mean? Like it's just outrageous that the people and that's just where we are in the world right now. But the people that are doing it, the people that are doing it right now are so novice that they've made this massive mistake. It is a massive mistake. It's a breach of security breach. It's a classified, somebody should be fired. In any other situation, somebody or many would be fired or reassigned. And here we are where it's just everybody sitting, I think they were they not in the House or Congress, whatever, sitting there and testifying going, yeah, I don't really know what was in that. You know, Tulsi Gabbard going, yeah, I don't really know what they were saying.
I know, that's the second
thing. It's like, it's right here.
That's the second thing. Okay, so first there's the app, which is, you know, from a, you know, point of view, like, not permitted, shouldn't be doing it. Second, blatant lies in the House, like we're looking at it. We all, and then of course the Goldberg releases the full stuff after, you know, he didn't do it before because obviously security. Right. He releases it, and there's like, all the details.
He's like, guys, hi, somebody added me to this chat. Somebody should manage it.
Yeah.
And then they were like, here's the problem. It's like,
yeah, it's journalists are the problem. And of course, if you follow, you know, the MAGA people, and they believe it. They say, yeah, journalists are evil. Journalists are the problem. This guy somehow, and they're Elon Musk is looking into how he hacked into this thing.
That was the explanation, right? That was the explanation that Pete Hegseth at the DOD said. The journalist must have somehow got his way into my phone under somebody else's number so that I added him to the, it's just like.
And we're all guilty of our group chats. You know, we have those family ones or stuff, and then there's a personal friend one. And then you forget that one friend is on there. You say something and you're like, oh shit, that person's in the group.
Oh, I've been at the receiving end of that. Yeah. And it was like, oh, well, I just thought dinner was so great. And it was like, isn't it so cute how Brian and Jody just kept serving us? And I was like, I'm right here. Right. But it was almost like, oh, look at
these troops were not threatened in that situation.
No. Well, and see, here's the thing. Like we've all stepped in it. Mm-hmm. And the best, and that's crisis communications. Again, if you're in it and it's provable, you have got to own it so you can move on. This is in the news cycle still because nobody's saying we'll do better next time.
Yeah. I've never seen such lies coming out of the press secretary. It's like unbelievable about everything, you know,
that
Canada,
press secretary
and
is
Germany
something.
And France and all that. You're just making stuff up.
It's right. Like, in France, you'd be speaking German if it wasn't for the Americans, and everybody in the room's like,
what? Yeah. What? Anyways, it's just endless. It's almost like it is. I mean, nothing's going to happen. You know that, Jody. They're going to continue. They'll just ride this through as they always do.
Right.
He's learned that lesson from
the
last term.
You flip the page. Yeah.
Now, that's probably why we'll get to some other stuff, why he's talking about those things, but. But, you know, I think what we are seeing is that I think most people are looking at America as a bit of a joke more than anything right now. I think they're just not taking it seriously. I sent you an article this morning that was sent to me by one of our viewers, listeners, Keith Morgan, who was about the tariffs in auto industry. And they're just basically going, you know. Whatever.
Let's back that up just a second, because if you haven't been paying attention, yesterday, it feels like a year ago, but it was just yesterday, an executive order was written by U.S. President Donald Trump, implementing, as threatened, tariffs on all auto parts and vehicles. And now they're actually talking about being more surgical and strategic about the parts piece, because somebody went, we can't make cars in America without Canadian and Mexican parts. So there's this, the chaos has begun though. We're like, we're back to a month ago when it was like 25% on everything. Oh, wait. Oh, hold on. So what's interesting about the article that you sent me, and it's really worth a read, we should post it with our podcast when we put it up later today, because it basically summarized says, Canada's not going to just react to these incoming, because the tariffs will be hitting on April 2nd, right? So that's not until next week. So the thought process, I guess, in the president's mind, I don't pretend to know this man, but he's expecting a reaction that would see a whole bunch of movement of parts into the US to avoid the tariffs. And there are going to be reciprocal tariffs. Obviously, Doug Ford has said that's going to happen. He's now a little bit quieter about what the federal government might do. And Mark Carney's like, listen, you know what? We're going to give it a minute. And so there's not this huge massive of parts moving around that Chaos Maker maybe thought there would be. And I think that's an interesting move, because there's another layer on top of that, that the US president threatened Canada and the EU. If you try and work together against the US, even though we started this fight, I'm going to make it worse for you. So now he's not just trying to America first, he's also pulling down the rest of the, and I don't know that every country in the world is just going to simply fold to him. I don't think so.
No, and I think that it's and I said joke earlier, or it's in the case of that article, the guy, you know, the car companies are sort of being very cautious in their the way they say it, because they have to be. They're basically saying, we'll see what happens over, you know, we can't build this stuff within 3 years and get it running. So therefore, and you know, who knows who will be our president in 3 years. So the burden of that cost goes to who? Well, to the consumer. So tariff cost, infrastructure costs, either way, the extra cost to these manufacturers, like the auto industry, that's how the economy works. That's how, you know, I used to sit there in council in Vancouver, and they would talk about adding, you know, these fees to development. And I would argue that's going to cost the buyer more money. No, that's not how it works. I'm like, yeah, that's how it works.
That is
you
how
you can't
works.
Change the margin that a developer wants. He wants his 20%, which is kind of standard in business. That doesn't change because you just put the price up. You're doing that, not them. And if they take more because the market can say that, that's the beauty of the market economy. It seems like Trump, who is a businessman, doesn't understand how the market economy works, which is if you make things more expensive, that the consumer pays. Who else?
Always.
It's like the old adage, well, there's only one taxpayer, right? It's only one, no different.
When it's a bullshit cup of coffee, it's a bullshit cup of coffee that the taxpayer has to pay. That's your famous line. So the Ford CEO said, no plans. As you said, he framed it very cautiously, no plans for new plants at this time, because, and the GM CEO said no new plants because it would cost billions in capital dollars. So the GM profits would have to go into building the plants that would then take, as you mentioned, 3 years, the better part of the rest of this Trump term, only to find that perhaps the next incoming government, if there ever is another incoming government in the United States, I guess, they might change it back to, oh no, we're going to trade with our partners across North America. And that's like, well, I'm running all of what I already have at capacity. I'm good. Thank you. We're good. And then he said, our business cannot continue this whipsawing of the business can't continue. And I thought that was a really interesting statement, right? Yeah.
Back and forth. Predictability is what any business needs. I need to know what the predictability would be. It's all, and of course, then there's the staffing cost. So there's a capital cost. And then there, of course, if it's union staff in America, and you know, that's a whole different debate. But Right now, they're deporting all the workers that would probably work in a GM plant in anywhere in America.
Isn't that wild?
So,
And did you see
you
that in
know.
Florida? Look at, we could just jump from one to the next to the next. In Florida, they're talking about re reducing the age for minimum wage workers so that children, because right now there are laws in place that say kids cannot work between 10 p.m. and 6 a.m.,
Right.
right? And you have to be 15 years or older. And so now they're going to reduce it to 14 and make it so they can work around the clock. Sorry,
Sounds like
child slave labor? That's what we're doing now in the
that
US?
sounds like child labor. Yeah. So
It's
babysitting
wild.
doesn't count.
No,
Where I work
no.
24 hours a day, if I could. When I was in high school.
Right,
I'll stay
right.
until 2 in the morning, sure, for $2 an hour.
Sure, right. Now it's $20 an hour.
Oh my God, yeah.
I want to make one more point about cars, actually two, because I know you're in the market, you're getting rid of your Tesla
Yeah, it's gone.
and looking at, it's gone now. Oh.
Happily, but sadly.
Yeah, you like the car, but
Beautiful car.
interesting to note how the used car market will jump,
It's hard to get a new
right?
car right now. It's hard. You have
And it will
waiting
be when
lists.
it's hard to get a new car, your used car just goes up, unless it's a Tesla.
I'll just ride my bike
That's
on
right. We're going in the right time of year.
those wonderful new bike lanes that we have in the city.
Let's talk bike lanes. No, let's not. Let's talk Canadian election call. Last week, we, along with everyone else, knew that it was coming on a Sunday. You predicted that it would be sooner rather than later, April 28th versus May the 5th. Those were the two dates that were being bandied about. You were right again. Let's just point that out. George Affleck, correct.
George
Check.
fact. George fact.
George fact. Okay, so let's talk campaign and polling and what have you, and the bots that are super active. Wow, they are everywhere. It's an explosion of bots
You can
and
see it when there's all these people responding quickly to some, say Carney will tweet something, and then suddenly there'll be all these negative things. There's no way all these people are real. There's no, and then of course you interact
and
with
on
them, and
Facebook
they
groups.
auto respond to you. It's like,
Yeah.
how do you type so fast, Mr. Smith?
With the almost identical phrasing from one to the next. But the Facebook groups I find really interesting, like Sarah Daniels, my good friend Sarah's, she runs like the South Surrey White Rock community group. It's got, whatever, 20,000, 30,000 people, like it's a significant group of people. And I follow along because she's my friend Sarah. And oh my gosh, like you throw down just the most neutral opinion about something. Boom, 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 boom. Like it goes off the scale so fast. And even she's saying, like, I can't, as an administrator, she can't keep up with the amount of bots hitting the Facebook pages now. Twitter's one thing, but
Yeah, I've
yeah.
seen that even in my high school Facebook group. I'm like, I send to the
Right.
administrator, can you just like put more settings in here? Because this all the selling of t-shirts or whatever, like they're done. My boss, like, get them out of there.
Right.
I don't
Right.
want to buy a t-shirt with my high school name on it. I really don't.
No, we're
I'm over
good.
that.
I saw some polling. Did you see the Angus Reid polling today? I should have
Not
sent
today.
that to you. Sorry, it moved this morning.
Yes, yeah,
They
Gabby's
were
in meetings since
basically,
seven, but yeah, what's the is it
yeah.
standard sticking to the
Okay, let me know. There's kind of interesting, it's the
I
way
if I'm
the
I would predict Carney's gonna get the arrogance thing if he's not careful, right? Which I saw, I think I've talked about this when I ran with Kirk Lapointe in 2014. He was running for mayor and there was a press conference that happened, and I
Yeah.
saw and the way he responded to Frances Beulah, I remember this. Everything changed in a negative
I
way for
vividly
him.
recall. Yeah, because he talked down to her.
He did,
And it was unbecoming.
yes, and probably because he
Yeah.
knew her quite well, so he felt comfortable, too comfortable. You're not.
Yeah, but he also forgot himself to be a politician,
That's right.
which
You
is
said it.
right. And I think you said this last week because Mark Carney showed his frustration toward a question that was stupid. I mean, it was a stupid question. Everybody knows a stupid question. It was from a very far right wing. I hesitate to call it a media outlet because it's not. And it was the dumbness of the repetitive follow-up with the same question that is a stupid question to begin with. Like everything about it is made to frustrate you. It's made for you to be uncool. Exactly. But I see him having corrected that quite a bit. He slowed his roll. But let me tell you about the pool.
And he doesn't say look too much. He does it a little bit. Look. Okay, just
makes me crazy.
Take that out of your vocabulary.
It makes me crazy. Mm-hmm. What's with the liberal surge? ? Recent grit switchers say it's driven by Carney, Trump's threats, and the ABC factor. So vote commitment among new liberals, far less solid than those who stuck with the party through lows of 2024. The slings and arrows of outrageous fortune suffered by the NDP and Conservative Party in Canada in recent months have reversed the fortunes of the Liberal Party, at least for now, leaving many to wonder how we got here. After leading comfortably in the polls for the better part of 2 years, the Conservative Party of Canada now faces an upward battle to regain even ground against new Prime Minister Mark Carney and his Liberals. What happened? New data from the nonprofit Angus Reid Institute provide some answers to these questions, asked what their main reasons have been. Voters who have switched to the Liberals since the beginning of the year, more than half, 56%, say they're motivated by the new leader, Carney. About the same number who also say U.S. President Donald Trump's threats have pushed them to support the incumbents. 3 in 10, 30%, say they believe the Liberals are the best way to prevent a conservative government, and this is one of the driving factors. Mm-hmm. So, but among these switchers, the largest group say they were formerly supporting the NDP. 35% said that they were formerly supporting the NDP. The NDP has had like full plummet from the sky splat. While slightly fewer have jumped from the CPC, 29%, a significant portion, 16%, were undecided, while importantly, 12% were Bloc Québécois voters and have improved the Liberals' chances in Quebec by their decision to swap. So mm-hmm. some pretty big, not just, we didn't like Trudeau and now we like Mark Carney, right? Like there's some more to this
mm-hmm.
that is moving the ship this way that is leaving Pierre Poilievre's, you know, axe the tax, Canada is broken over here, right?
Yeah, he's definitely, his speaking style is not resonating the way it did in the previous iteration of whatever we were living through before all this chaos began.
Oh
my prediction,
God.
my prediction for 1 year today, you want to hear it?
Yes.
If the Conservatives lose, is Doug Ford will be the leader of the Federal Conservatives and Charlie Angus will be the leader of the NDP. Are you writing that down?
I am.
Put it on the fridge. That's what they
March
do here.
March 27th.
My house. Oh, Dad's March got a prediction. Let's put it on the fridge.
Oh, do you? I will. I will put it right over there.
I would say that would be a likely. I mean, I think anything can happen. I don't think we should underestimate the Conservatives and the youth vote is still very solidly towards the Conservatives, strangely and weirdly. Like, and so if they show up, which they never do, that could change things, certainly in Quebec and Ontario, if the youth votes show up for the Conservatives. And I would say that the Conservatives would be spending a lot of energy on that and getting that vote out, because they seem to be, you know, unlike when I was in my 20s, you know, where you were, they seem to be more right wing. So,
but the reason I think for that, with it, as we both have 17-year-olds in our house, the youth vote doesn't have a memory of another political party doing almost exactly the same things in different ways, but same outcomes. Like how, you know, we had so many years of Stephen Harper, you know, but we did have a little taste of Jean Chrétien. We do remember Pierre Elliott Trudeau. We do have, you know, a little of this and that, and can compare some things, whatever those things might be, in a very nonpartisan way. I mean, I'm talking in broad strokes. What do you think? When you only get the TikTok, which is a big change in this, and I'm not blaming young people for consuming what they do on social media, the algorithms do shift what they see, right? We grew up in a time where we would watch, you know, Walter Cronkite, you know, the Peter Jennings, you know, fill in the blank news anchors, not even on, you know, big cable news, but actual like traditional terrestrial
event. You would, you know,
and you'd read the newspaper, right?
Yeah.
You read the front page of the newspaper. You'd look in the business section. You'd go to the sports section. Then you hit the comics, do the world jump bowl. You're out, right? Like, whatever. I miss those olden days.
Now, yeah, right now the algorithm for me on TikTok is name the song in one note. That's all I'm getting now. I love those things. I'm like, yeah, that song.
I used to love Name That Tune.
Yeah. Dun.
And then people would get it.
Yeah, no, I'm pretty good at it.
My algorithm's all spring flowers and positive quotes, because I speak into my phone every morning. Show me all the peonies, show me the cherry blossoms. And then I get all those.
Nice.
Anyway.
In fact, that's what people should be doing. Thinking about that. Let's keep these things. We talk about politics in this show, obviously. And you know, I follow these things, and we appreciate people who listen and watch us to potentially as one of their main sources of information. And we try to be unbiased. You know, I we talk about both sides all the time on the spectrum of politics. But you know, it's also important to play, have your fun, smell the flowers, play the one note challenge, things like that.
Yeah. But then we got to go back to Danielle Smith. Can we talk about this for a second? Because, I mean, there's politics, like there are politicians who, you know, on, because somebody is going to be like, oh, you're a snowflake and you're going to vote for so-and-so. It's like, I don't talk about how I vote, but I guess, you know, sure. But I, watching Wab Kanu this morning, the premier of Manitoba, what a speaker, what an individual, speaking to his constituents in a way that seems to be resonating and so impactful and connecting beyond the fact that he's an Indigenous man. Like
the next Liberal leader will be
after done. After Charlie Angus.
No, he'll be Liberal. He'll go Liberal, I think.
Oh, he'll be Liberal. I thought, okay.
Because he wants to be Prime
Doug
Minister.
Doug Ford, so. Conservative, Charlie Angus,
but the interim Liberal. NDP, and after Carney's gone, it'll be Wab Kanu.
Yeah, he's great.
He'll go Liberal. And he'll be
But Danielle Smith, okay, so I've always just like, okay. There's been, from her anti-vaccine sort of narrative to, you know, while every other premier, conservative, NDP, Liberal, or Green have all sort of bonded, come together and tried to have a united voice, she's over here, you know, going down to Mar-a-Lago and it's like, okay, I mean, that, oh, I guess, okay. But Breitbart, like going on Breitbart.
Her room is very small that she listens to.
Yeah.
When she reads the room, it's literally her and her five friends.
I get it.
Yeah.
And then she goes on Breitbart and says that she advises President Trump,
the world's greatest misogynist, whatever.
Right? Is he ever going to listen to a woman? I like, if anything, that works against it. He's like, oh God, if this woman hates it, let's do it twice, three times on Sunday. Like, I just, yeah, her room is very small. Well said. It's this big.
But, and what drives me to talk about misinformation about, you know, how much we as Canadians have contributed to Alberta over the last certain long period of time, including transfer payments where they were, their economy was suffering, and we all contributed to keep them afloat. And we built a pipeline for you. We paid for that as taxpayers for you to export your oil to the world and through Vancouver. Which is complicated in itself to get a pipeline through this province. But the federal government purchased the system, built it, and launched it. And now it makes a lot of money for all of us, but especially Alberta. It's just this arrogance about how Alberta is, you know, its own entity. And it's like, it doesn't work like that. It's not, that's the beauty of Canada. Like as a federalist myself, that is the wonder of this country. If we're all, and I look forward, I hope Carney can pull this off. If he becomes again, the next prime minister of this election, or whoever becomes the next prime minister, this trade barriers between provinces is so ridiculous.
Oh my gosh.
We have, you know, like, get rid of them. I mean, enough of that. Can Ontario please enjoy BC wine, please? Can they have a bottle of Burrung Owl, please?
Yeah, like, that we're still in the situation that already hasn't been like ripped off like a bad Band-Aid, like one of those bad Band-Aids that if you let it sit there, it's going to be the one that's floating in the swimming pool, right? Like, let's just take it off and put it over there.
Yes.
and make doing business in Canada easier for Canadians to do. It's not hard. And yes, you know what? Protect PEI potatoes. That makes sense, right? You don't want to crush the potato market in PEI. Have some common sense. But again, that bottle of wine in BC going to Ontario, like, there are things that can be just opened right up, and then be mindful about what smaller economies need to continue to do well and thrive. As a Canadian, I will tell you this right now. As a Canadian, if there are special supports put in place for our auto workers effective the day those tariffs go in, I'm down. Tell me where to send my bag of groceries. Every Canadian could send an auto worker's family groceries. Like, let's do something, right? Like, whatever it takes to keep these people, because if it's happening to them, it's happening to me. And if you want to call me a crazy socialist snowflake, go for it. But I want to take care of my Canadians, right? I want to take care of one another. I want it to thrive. I want our economy to change. I'm never trusting the United States again. I'm not. I do love the Americans who are stepping forward. Did you see in San Jose? You didn't, because hockey, the thing with the ice and the pucks and the sticks.
What is this? What is this you talk
It's a
about?
sport. It's a hockey game de la hockey.
They've lost me.
So in San Jose last night, there was a game between the San Jose Sharks and I want to say it was Toronto Maple Leafs, probably the Habs. Anyway, they played the Canadian national anthem and everybody cheered, like cheered for it. I want more of that from my American friends. I want to hear you. I want to see you, because I know that like 60%, maybe even 70% of Americans
Yes, there are many people who don't vote
hate
in
this.
America,
Yeah, they hate this though.
but the minority can take over if you let it,
Yeah.
and that's what's happening down there. And so, and to
It's
your
going to
point
be
about
so hard for
Canada,
them.
what
Yeah.
makes Canada great is we're a social democracy. We believe in a certain balance of social policies that we all share the pain and the wealth, but
Yeah.
we also encourage a market economy. It's a balance. And bureaucracy is usually the biggest challenge, and so the whole America DOGE thing, we all get the concept of like less bureaucracy. If you look at development and
Sure.
housing is really certainly challenged by the amount of bureaucrats
42
and
communications people. It's not that we love it.
so go Canada and hey, help us America. Be nicer. Come on, what's going on? Don't double tariff us, don't triple tariff us.
No,
You need our
it's
oil.
interesting. Yeah, you need our oil, because that, let's end on that. We're about a minute over, but let's end on that, because when we're talking about Danielle Smith, when we're talking about Alberta, when we're talking about oil and gas, what we as Canadians, as a country, sell to the US in oil and gas, and we start talking about surpluses and cost and trade, and explain that in your elevator talk.
My TED Talk.
In your time, it is
Well, America
time
used
for
to get
Georgia's.
a big chunk of its oil from Saudi Arabia, right? So they and there was
Right.
a massive trade deficit, and Saudi Arabia doesn't buy a lot of goods from America. So as a result, American policy, decided to start getting oil and gas and encourage oil and gas, and they take our oil and gas, our oil, and then they take it down to America, they refine it, and then they sell it to the world. So they actually upcharge them,
Including us.
including us. They
Yeah.
upcharge it. So it's a profit center for them. So sure, it's our deficit, trade deficit is balanced, not balanced, but it's because you wanted our oil so that you can make money off of it and not have to be at the whim of the OPEC nations. You have its security, its cost. It was good for Americans to partner with a partner that is trusting
Stable
and stable
democracy.
and ethical.
Yeah.
Ethics seem to have gone out the window these days. But and that's what you wanted our oil. We were fine the way it was, but it was
Yeah.
your needs and desires to create a more stable oil industry after the 1970s, when we saw chaos. If you're old enough like me and remember, the OPEC and all that stuff in the early 70s, it was bad and led to double digit inflation and all that stuff. So,
That's when everybody's mortgages were at 18%. Yeah. Yeah. Crazy.
So
Okay. We don't have enough time to continue on. We will,
I know
I'm
we got the civic
sure.
election coming up, but we'll talk about that next week because it's next Saturday. You can vote. I don't know when the actual advance polls are, but if you have
It started
Vancouver, we have
yesterday.
two councillors running, two council
Yesterday
positions.
at advance polling at City Hall, because they don't have polling stations everywhere, just at City Hall. It was yesterday. I think there was a record turnout yesterday for these seats. So it'll be really interesting. Of course, trying to replace empty City Council seats, which could shift the balance of power at City Hall. So it could be really interesting. So we'll do that here on Unspun Podcast. Unspunpodcast.com is where you can find us to like and subscribe. As you know, we read our comments. George just mentioned a couple of you on this particular program. You can find George at George
underscore
Affleck at George underscore like on your Twitter, George Affleck everywhere else. I'm at Jody Vance, Jody with a Y, at Jody Vance on all your social media outlets. Please be kind out there. Everybody's really stressed out. If you can, pick up a paintbrush. Maybe do a little doodling.
You don't want to see
I do, actually. I do. Say goodbye.